The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Mr. Johnson, can you hear me?
Good morning, yes.
Good morning. Sorry about that. Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. I know it's a touch-and-go thing with connection and getting in touch with you, but I'm glad that we have you on the line. This is Tusker from Freedom 106.5 FM, just in case.
Hi, Tusker.
You're wondering who's calling. So tell us a little bit the aftermath of Hurricane Melissa. How are you doing? How is your family? How are you guys doing?
Well, we are generally fine. Thank you so much for having me. We're generally fine and immensely grateful, because when we look at the hardships and suffering of my fellow Jamaicans in the east, in the western part of the island, we are in the eastern part of the island, and we did get some effects, but certainly not as severe as the western southern coast of the island, St. Elizabeth, Westmoreland, Hanover, St. James, Trelawney, Manchester, and so on. So we're well. I mean, generally, though, we're struggling with internet connectivity. And I know your producer has been trying to get me on, but it has been very difficult. I just got into Kingston and just reached the Gleaners offices on North Street in downtown Kingston. So that's how you're able to get me.
So timing was on point this morning.
On point, on point. The attention, obviously, is on the more than 90,000 families who have been displaced, affected by the storm, and the difficulty that the authorities are having reaching some of the communities. Up to last week, Thursday, we were told that there were 27 marooned communities, and the food drops had reached 22 of the 27, which means that at least 5 communities the authorities have not been able to penetrate at all
since the 28th of October,
and this was up to last week, Thursday, so they might have some updates for us today or during the course of this week. But that is very telling, and many of these communities are deeply remote in hilly terrains where there have been down power lines and massive landslides that have ripped roads and just completely cut off these areas. People have to walk miles. Our sister paper, The Star, did a story last week of a man who collapsed from a bicycle, according to passers-by and persons who know him. He was riding for miles to get food. So these are some of the stories so we continue to be very, very, very concerned, of course, and the situation. So what the government has been doing is they have been trying to improve the logistics to ensure that relief, you know, food supplies, tents, food, water, that these things reach people who are not on the front lines. So when you're going to towns and so on, and people can walk up to the vehicles, but you have to try to now reach these people who can't necessarily make it into the major towns and so on for these drop-offs as well. You know, you have to penetrate to get to those who really need the aid. And that has been a challenge. The Prime Minister admitted last week, Thursday, that in the initial stages, the relief was slow. But they have made some changes to the main disaster organization that is coordinating all of this relief, the Office of Disaster Preparedness and Emergency Management. The Prime Minister took control of the agency through his office from another minister who had it, and also changed the leadership of the agency, and now a member of the army, a commander from the army, is now heading that agency. And he's also said that the army is now working through the OPM with the Office of the Prime Minister, with the disaster agency, to try to improve the logistics of getting
assistance aid. Now, in terms of foreign persons coming into Jamaica to help be part of the coordination of the relief efforts, how has that been going for you? I heard that El Salvador has sent military canine units and so on to help. Today I read that Trinidad and Tobago sent a TNTech crew to come to help do the reconnection and so on. What other countries have, you know, entered the relief efforts?
So, right. So there have been both bodies in terms of persons who have been sent by several countries, some are CARICOM neighbors and family, friends, brothers and sisters in other Caribbean islands, as well as from, as you mentioned, Ecuador. I know that there have been some support from the United States in terms of both helicopter assets, human and human persons, you know, members of their military who are assisting as well. And then, of course, the European Union, Canada, Venezuela, several other countries have sent goods as well. And I know that one of the key ministers leading the effort, Daryl Vaz, announced that a shipment of support of relief came this morning, or at least overnight, as well. So a lot of support from bilateral partners, countries, as well as private donors, aid and charity organizations, and so on that are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And because the storm was devastating in the sense that more than 70% of customers of the main power provider lost power during the storm, and many of them in the western end of the island, as you'd imagine. So mm-hmm. one of the key things is to get people to begin to experience some level of normality,
mm-hmm.
and that in 2025 one of those things is get
internet.
People electricity,
yeah,
and get people internet, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's also another thing with the connectivity issue, because many families still can't speak to their get to their relatives, both mm-hmm. those who are in the devastated areas and those outside who are trying to get to their relatives. So I know that the local networks have been working with Starlink, which is this satellite technology that is run by billionaire American South African Elon Musk,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To try to get technology and to get connectivity going, so people can, you know, to ease that kind of frustration as well.
Mm.
And that you know, people want to know if their brothers and sisters or neighbors or whomever, if they are fine.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. And you know, there's hardly much you can say to somebody if they can't hear from their brother and sister.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, it is a toll mentally. When you can't reach persons who you care about, especially right. if the distance is such that you can't get to them via car, truck, the roads have no access, that kind of thing. Now, the plan for Jamaica is to be prepared for the next tourist season, which is happening next year. You know, I hear that the aim is to make sure that everything is on point for Carnival. How feasible is that? I know that the resilience of the Jamaicans is something else, but yes. In that vein, I see that the is it Royal Caribbean, the cruise line, they came and left a shipment as well, and there are persons who are saying, you know what, they're going to come to start that tourism industry going again to lend that support. So how?
Yeah.
Well, how y'all feel about that?
Yeah. The context to this is that the storm, the Category 5 hurricane, that was Melissa,
mm-hmm.
tore through the country's tourism belt. Hotels, many of them have to push back their opening. And mm-hmm. why that is absolutely critical in terms of the timing, December 15 is the start of the winter tourist season,
mm-hmm.
which is the very essence, really, of what helps to make not just Jamaica, but the Caribbean islands key destinations, because it cold in other countries, in Europe, North mm-hmm. America, and elsewhere.
Mm.
It get cold. So people want to come out and enjoy the sunshine. And the winter tourist season starts December 15, which is obviously a lucrative part of the general tourist calendar
and the economy
and season. And tourism obviously is a critical part of the country's economy, bringing in important foreign exchange, and not just that, but the employing in Jamaica, for example, the tourist industry indirectly and directly employs over 300,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine those are those people. Imagine the downstream effect in terms of the families that depend on these for school, health, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a sort, in a sense, it's a bit of a touch and go. Some hotels have said that they will reopen in January, so that would be just about a month after the tourist season starts. Some might be able to get on even before that. We reported at the Gleaner yesterday that two cruise ships are due to dock in Ocho Rios this week. So that's the first major tourist activity since the storm, and that's very important. The town of Ocho Rios, which is a major resort town on the north coast in St. Anne Parish, it was affected, but not as badly affected as its neighboring parishes in Trelawney and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So that's very, very important. That signals confidence in the local economy and that people can get jobs, people can go back to work.
Yeah.
And so that's very, 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 very important. The Prime Minister indicated last week in Parliament that the country will lose, the damage is estimated at roughly a third of our GDP over the last year or so. So that's huge.
Yeah.
Huge, because what that translates to for the ordinary person probably is the government is not going to have enough money to maybe do certain kind of capital projects that they wanted to do, build roads, mm-hmm. build hospitals, build all kinds of different things, pay for other kinds of, education support, all kinds of other things, roads and so on. I mean, obviously we'll have to fix roads, but we'll have to be fixing roads that perhaps never needed fixing initially.
In the first place,
so
yeah.
roads that were, exactly. So that's what it means when the government will not be able to collect the revenue. It will lose revenue in a very significant way. So it's a mixed bag for the tourism sector.
Mm-hmm.
I know that that's a key focus. So there are a lot of efforts are underway to try to get the corridors open, to support the local players, and not just the big hotel entities and so on, but mm-hmm. the small and medium-sized enterprises as well.
The bread and breakfast and, yeah.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. Precisely. Those are important. Those are the ones in the nooks and crannies of Jamaica where people go and the tour guiding, all
yes.
of these kinds
yeah.
of things. All of these. And remember, the downstream effect. So if 10 persons were working at a boutique hotel, a little bed and breakfast and stuff, those 10 persons are from likely 10 different families.
Mm-hmm.
They have children depending on them. Other families, their parents, whomever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the farmers as well. They are devastated. A lot of them would supply the hotel industry with food.
Mm-hmm.
Gone. So it's a vicious cycle.
And I'm thinking education, thinking about the children who thought that, hey, I was going to go out to school. Some started the new term. I mean, I believe the term is almost finished, but, do they have schools to go back to? And how are exams, would the transition of doing exams, would they still happen? How do they recover?
So, right. So just as the tourism sector, a lot of schools, the authorities report that over 600 schools have reported damage. Many of those schools in obviously in the western end of the island,
mm-hmm.
As well. We don't have a sense of the total number of students, but many, we're talking about over 600 schools and many of them in the western end of the island. Schools that have just lost their roof, walls have crumbled, and so on. And the education minister said last week that they are contemplating tent schools, giving priority to those students who are in exam years. So mm-hmm. those who are going to be doing CSEC exams or CAPE, as well as the local primary, end of primary school exam as well,
mm-hmm.
to at least start to get them back into that kind of mode. Because those exams, as we know, CSEC exams are typically May and June, and the primary exams, the primary end of primary education exam, they are over time. So I think they start in February or March, thereabout, and you have several going down. So there are some months out, but mm-hmm. it's critical that you shorten the period of time that these students are out of school. The question is, getting these tent schools or other kinds of solutions in place, but then what happens to their families that they have to go back to, and their access to food, and it's a mess.
Mm.
It's a mess. So we don't have a clear strategy delineated or outlined by the minister or the government just yet, but those are part of the discussion in terms of the tent schools. And I know private persons have spoken about after caring in, how do you adopt a family? How do you,
yeah.
Ways in which people are able to assist even at an individual and local level, whilst the government tries to figure out how do we cater to these thousands of students in these five parishes who cannot go to school,
mm-hmm.
right? Who have no books, who have no uniform. And even if they did, they have no place to go for a classroom. So
I hear the overwhelm in your voice alone just to think of you know, isolated events where it multiplies by several hundreds, thousands.
Yes.
You know, I do see the mammoth task ahead. Now, in terms of assistance, can you tell us what are some of the things immediately that Jamaica needs at this point in time so that those who are listening and connected to charities and organizations that can give that assistance, you know, what would be the priority list?
Well, the priority list, using what the disaster agency or disaster agency office of disaster preparedness and emergency management has put out, are initially basic relief items: tents, lamps, generators, food, tarpaulins, in some instances, zinc, those kinds of material that can, you know, put some sturdiness, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even in Jamaica, in the sense of here in Jamaica, even blood, in terms of the shortage of it, because there's a shortage and children have had to be relocated and so on. So they need medical supplies. The hospitals need medical supplies because they've had to be, especially the hospitals on the west and the eastern end of the island, have had to be accommodating a lot of the patients and so on from the western end who don't have any hospitals to go to. Or those hospitals can't accommodate much because of the kind of some medical supplies, basic relief supplies, tents, as I said, foodstuff, generators, technology equipment that can allow them to get some access going. Those kinds of things that they do need in large quantities, if you will.
I was thinking too, you'd probably need bedding, towels.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. Clean water, bottles of water. Mm-hmm. That reminds me, I saw a social media movement by this young lady. She said, you know, Jamaicans are resilient people. And she said, you know, she was one who was very sheltered and pampered with her washing machine and her dryer and all of that. And those things no longer exist. So she brought herself to the river to wash for the first time. And she said that she would document her, you know, journey into doing this, which I found, funny, but endearing at the same time, because it really does give you a moment to be thankful for what you have and understand that, you know, the ground grassroots things still hold true.
Right.
You reach to the stones and you're beating out your sheets and everything.
Oh, absolutely.
On the shore.
Oh, absolutely. Need buckets, they need water purification kits, hygiene kits, collapsible water storage containers. You know, they need ADs, axe, blackboard with block batteries, battery drill set, combination pliers, you know, because they have them in different categories. So they need health supplies, they need shelter and temporary accommodation supplies, oxygen mask, nebulizer and tubing, multifunction vital signs monitor, pipe wrench, raincoat, sledgehammer,
nails, everything you could.
Yes.
That's what I said just before speaking with you. I said, you could think of anything that you need in the grocery right now. Jamaica needs it like about 100 times over, you know.
They do.
So they're just they to do. Put
but
together
I
something.
I would direct people, if I can. The government operates a website, supportjamaica.gov.jm. That's a government website that is facilitating donations.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do it, once you go through that, because there are lots of fraud and fake sites across that are saying, hey, come and support and so on. But the one to go to is supportjamaica.gov.jm, because obviously persons, not everybody can buy all the items and ship them and so on, but you can donate. It doesn't matter how small it is. It doesn't matter how small it is. What you're doing is going to be touching the lives of families, children, parents, adults, people who... Yes, go ahead.
I was going to ask you to repeat the link again. Supportjamaica.gov.
.jm.
JM.
JM, yes. Supportjamaica.gov.jm.
All right. And you wanted to finish off by saying...
Right. And I'm saying it doesn't matter how small it is. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about that. If it's a dollar, whatever a dollar is for you in your own circumstances, it doesn't matter. All of that is going to be touching and improving the lives of at least one Jamaican mm-hmm. who really needs it.
Well, Mr. Jovan, thank you so much for taking the time. I know that you've got a lot to do. By the way, how is the Gleaner office? Did it stand up? How are you all looking?
We did. Some of us camped out. I certainly did camp out Monday night, Monday to Tuesday. I went home on Wednesday. God bless my wife. Mm. But I went home and we were fine. We were generally fine. There was no leaking or flooring. The Gleaner building is five floors and the editorial is four floors up. Mm-hmm. And we were fine.
Right.
Thank God for that.
So the Jamaica Gleaner lives to see another day, of course, bringing
it. Does.
And bringing all the information.
We're inching towards being 200 years old, you know. So.
Say that again.
We're inching towards being 200 years old.
Wow. That will be a very big celebration for news in Jamaica, no? So.
Yeah, and the Caribbean and being an important chronicler and challenger. Mm-hmm. Of thoughts and ideas and communicating our own stories in our own language in our own way, mm-hmm. you know, that's very, very important. But yes, thank you.
Yeah, and it gives an opportunity for those who need to see themselves. You know, when you see a version of yourself, you see something representing you, you feel a whole lot more centered. So congratulations to the Gleaner for that, and thank you once again for taking the time for talking to us. All right.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.